The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism. Tonight I'm going to talk about koan, once again from Entangling Vines. This is koan number 5. Previously gave a talk on koan number 4 from Entangling Vines and thought it was a unique koan in the koan collections, and luckily one of our teachers discovered that it repeats itself in the Book of Equanimity as case 19. This koan too repeats itself in the Gateless Gate collection. It's split in half. It's both case number 30 and case number 33, but here it's combined. Da Mei Fa Chang of Ming Province asked Ma Tzu Dao Yi, "What is Buddha?" Ma Tzu answered, "This very mind is Buddha." Later, another monk asked Ma Tzu, "What is Buddha?" The master replied, "Not mind, not Buddha." So this koan evokes for me my days of training in the Gateless Gate and so many years now of working with people on their koan practice. Encountering these two koans, they appear separately, although they're together in this collection. And I love that they're separate in the Gateless Gate, and I love that they're together in the Book of Entangling Vines. When we first encounter this koan, Ma Tzu, who Alan referred to in an earlier talk, Ma Tzu, the great teacher who supposedly was the first person to hit students as a form of an answer, and we heard about Layman Pine today hitting a student, perhaps as a reprimand, perhaps as a demonstration, perhaps as a loving gesture. We shouldn't decide, but we should keep questioning. What is this? What is going on here? And here, this student of the way, Da Mei, asks his teacher, Ma Tzu, "What is Buddha?" And this is one of the essential questions in our koan tradition. You hear many, many koans that begin this way. A student asks a teacher, "What is Buddha?" And of course, the word Buddha is not just a reference to the historical Buddha Shakyamuni, who lived 2,600 years ago, but it's a reference to our awakened nature. Because the word Buddha comes from the root bud, which means awake. And we talk about how we don't have to become different than the way we are, but we have to realize who we've been the whole time. This Zen enterprise is very different from so many of the self-improvement models that we encounter in modern life, and actually which have been around for millennia. This is not about becoming something else. It's becoming fully you, because fully you is an embodiment, we might say, of the awakened heart. And I remember when I first encountered this koan with my first teacher, the first part where Da Mei asked Ma Tzu, "What is Buddha?" And Ma Tzu says this very famous teaching, "Mind is Buddha." And this word mind is a translation of a word that really means heart-mind. It doesn't mean our cognition, our thinking, although that's included. It means a kind of a presence, a knowing that's beyond thinking. It's every single thing that we experience. So thinking and sensing and feeling emotions, all of it is Buddha. In other words, the teaching is you as you are, without having to do anything but realize it, You are already Buddha. Your mind, your heart, all the thoughts, the negative thoughts, the positive thoughts, the negative emotions, positive emotions, negative sensations, positive sensations, we categorize, don't we? All of these things, everything, without exception, this is the awakened heart showing up. This heart-mind is the awakened heart-mind, already accomplished. And then, and I remember when I encountered this, I thought, yes, right, I get it. I love this teaching. I felt, up until that point in my life, I was in my 20s, maybe early 30s, I'd been on the self-improvement path. I'd tried lots and lots of stuff and wanted to be a better person. I wanted to refine my mind. I wanted to refine my body with yoga. I wanted to eat the right stuff. I wanted to be, I was in therapy so I could get rid of all my crap and everything. I remember going, David and I went to a holistic clinic where you not only saw a doctor, but you also saw a nutritionist and a psychologist and a clinician, because the idea was you could just refine yourself so you'd be some kind of perfect person, have perfect physical and mental health, etc., etc. The best part of that clinic was that we met the massage therapist, who was a Zen practitioner, and I started going to him for massage, and he said to me, "Have you ever tried meditation?" And I thought, oh, meditation, that's stupid, that's for idiots. I'm on the path of becoming a better person. I don't want to just sit around and do nothing. And he said, listen, why don't I'll prepare your bill, and why don't you sit here on the massage table and just pay attention to your breath. And he went away, and I did that. And it was amazing. I had actually meditated before in many different traditions, but his teaching was so simple. So straightforward. Just sit there and pay attention to your breath. It was the first time I'd actually encountered a Zen practitioner. And he came back in and he said, "So how was that?" And I said, "Whoa." And he said, "Aha." He said, "My Zen teacher is coming to give a lecture and a weekend. Why don't you come and meet him?" And, the rest is history, or I don't know. That's when I got lost to Zen. Kept trying to leave, kept coming back. This was the root practice, just being here. And this fellow actually is still a member of the temple. He tells me that he considers David and me his teachers, which I think is so lovely, because he was the first person who really taught me to meditate. So when I came across this teaching of mind is Buddha, it just was perfect for me. I loved it. And then three koans later in the Gateless Gate, there's Matsu again being asked the same question, but this time he says, "Not mind, not Buddha." And that really threw me. I didn't know what he was talking about. And this was my introduction in a way, and this is of course an important part of the Gateless Gate. Wu Men, the collector of these koans, says that they're not in any particular order, they're just a bunch of stuff he put together to trouble his students. Yeah, and they've troubled people now for 1,000 years. So they're really, in my estimation, an incredible training manual for learning how to shift our view of what awakening is. So I thought mind is Buddha was the ultimate, and then here we have not mind, not Buddha. Wait a minute. All this stuff that I thought was, it kind of satisfied me. I couldn't be satisfied anymore because my teacher wanted me to penetrate this other view. And there's a great story. The first questioner in the first part of the koan, Da Mei, his name means great plum. And he was a student of Matsu who went off after he'd received transmission to become a teacher. He lived on a mountain called Great Plum Mountain, named after himself, or maybe it was the other way around, I don't know. And he sat for quite a long time. And Matsu was curious about him and sent one of his students to see his former student, Da Mei. And this Matsu said to him, "When you get there, ask him what is Buddha." So here we go again. And the student did as he was told. He went to visit Dame on Great Plum Mountain, and he said, "What is Buddha?" And Dame said, "Mind is Buddha." And then the student said, "Oh, you know, that's what Matsu used to teach, but now he teaches not mind, not Buddha." And Dame said, "I don't care what he says. Mind is Buddha." So the student went back to Matsu and reported this. And Matsu said, "Oh, the great plum has ripened." So I wanted to read a little bit from another talk that Matsu gave, because this troubled lots of people, these two different answers. You know, sometimes you say mind is Buddha, sometimes you say not mind, not Buddha. What's going on here? And this wonderful pointing to not clinging to any view. In a way, the wearing down of the self, the wearing down of the ego, which sincere practice really accomplishes, as we were saying today, we don't accomplish it. We surrender to this amazing, I like to call it a technology, a form that's been handed down to us by our ancestors, of just being simple. No fancy stuff. When it's time to sit, we sit. When it's time to bow, we bow. When it's time to walk, we walk. When it's time to chant, we chant, eat, shit, piss, sleep. And then sometimes we do other things like take walks. But it's simple. It's simple. We don't have to think about stuff. We don't have to add anything extra. So we don't cling to views here. This wearing down of our views is a concomitant of the wearing down of the ego self, who thinks that they know stuff. This not knowing, as we were talking about in the Dharma dialogue this morning, how can you know anything? How can you know that no two snowflakes are alike, as Jenny asked? And we can't know that. We'd have to examine every single snowflake that ever existed and will ever exist to know this. So we start to sink into another view of not knowing. And then there's the view of truly, deeply recognizing for ourselves, as we've heard some of our teachers say, that water is warm or cold when we drink it. This is the utter reliability of another kind of knowing. So people bothered Matsu a lot and said, you know, essentially, "What are you doing? Why are you confusing us?" And so here's what he said. A monk asked, "Master, why do you say that mind is Buddha?" So here's a little bit of a different take on the question. Not what is Buddha, but why do you say it? We have to imagine this guy was bothered by all the different things that he was hearing. Why do you say that mind is Buddha? And Matsu said, "To stop babies from crying." I love that answer. And of course it is amazing when we first encounter the way and the teachers say, "You are Buddha." So many koans point to that, so many teachings point to that. But it's to stop babies from crying. Maybe it's to stop the endless complaints we've been talking about, the endless stories, the endless narratives, to stop babies from crying, he says. And then the monk said, "What do you do when they stop crying? What do you do when the babies stop crying? When the mind stops making up all this nonsense? When the narratives start to deconstruct themselves and we start to taste freedom, what happens then?" And then Matsu said, "No mind, no Buddha." And then the monk, this is the same monk, by the way, very persistent, but we don't know his name. He said, "Okay, without using either of these teachings, like don't rely on mind is Buddha or not mind, not Buddha, how would you instruct someone?" And Matsu said, "I would say to him that it's not a thing." The monk persisted, "If suddenly someone who was in the midst of it came to you, then what would you do?" And Matsu said, I would teach him to experience the great way. So in a way, this is a little bit of a manual for teaching here. Matsu is being completely open, completely honest about how he views people at different stages. And we, all of us, are at different stages, we might say, throughout the day, but sometimes throughout just one sitting period, throughout just a few minutes. Sometimes mind is Buddha is really the thing that we need to hear, and other times it's not mind, not Buddha. Don't get tangled up. And then if somebody needs more instruction, not either of those ones, he says, it's not a thing. It's nothing. Don't rely on any teaching. Don't get caught. And then this persistent monk asks him, so what if somebody has realized all this? Then what do you do? Somebody who's had a realization, who's had an opening. And it's my contention that every single person in the whole world has had some kind of opening, because these openings are our birthright. We get release from constructed mind on a regular basis. Sometimes when that happens, it's just a little blip and we forget about it. Sometimes it's so enormous that we cling to it for dear life. And other times it's we encounter a teacher who helps us to integrate whatever it was, from the little blip to the great experience, so that every activity is Buddha's activity. Everything we do and say and think is the activity of the awakened heart. And we no longer have to try so hard. We get guided on the path. It's like being taught to swim. It's like being taught to walk. We already know how to do it, but it's helpful to have somebody to show us the way. So he says, I would teach him to experience the great way. That's finally, somebody has ripened, the plum has ripened, and we get to actually have a relationship where the teacher and the student can communicate in a way that is deeper than any other kind of communication. I don't have words for it, but I depend on people like Matsu. And so one last teaching from Matsu before I end our talk tonight. Another monk asked, what is the essential meaning of Buddhism? And Matsu said, what is the meaning of this moment? Dame asked Matsu, what is Buddha? And Matsu said, mind is Buddha. Another student asked, what is Buddha? And Matsu replied, no mind, no Buddha. Thank you. We'll just sit here for another few breaths and then be instructed in walking meditation.